requesting Congress to enact the POW MIA Truth Bill, H.R. 1147, introduced by Representative John Miller of Washington. And the intention of this bill is to would require federal government officials to disclose information on life sightings of American soldiers missing in World War II in the Korean and the Vietnam Wars. Under the bill, sources and methods used to collect the reports would be censored to protect national security. This bill also urges Congress to continue funding of the POW MIA special investigation that's being conducted by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and to appoint a select committee to assist in obtaining information in government files on missing American service personnel. With that, do we have people to comment? Mr. Wright?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name's Tom Wright, committee staff to the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. I'm here basically to answer questions. You pretty well summarized the bill. The resolution was brought to us, or brought to our attention, from Representative Jerry Heffner of Oklahoma. And Senator Grasser, I believe, is Senator Grasser of Oklahoma is the one who's heading up this campaign, and they're trying to get statewide attention focused on the POW MIA situation in Southeast Asia, and encouraging all state legislatures to pass resolutions such as this. The resolution's pretty succinct. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. There's also been reported live sightings of over 11,700 personnel that have been received by the Department of Defense. As I said, I can answer any questions on this, or try to the best of my ability to answer questions on this. In your packets, we have included a zero fiscal note from the House Special Committee. I have also included a copy of the legislation as proposed by Representative John Miller of Washington, and also reported or related newspaper articles and other information for the committee's consideration.
Any comments, questions by the committee members?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Rubenberg?
With respect to page 1, line 10, the term probability, and with respect to page 2, line 7, the term probability, as opposed to possibility, do you know, Mr. Wright, whether those reports, the interim report from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the October 1990, whether in fact that is a direct quote from the report? Because normally you would say it does not rule out the possibility, and that's a very strong term. And I'd like some evidence in the record to support that. Otherwise, I would suggest we say possible.
Mr. Chairman, I would not disagree with Representative Grunberg. This resolution is based on what Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, is considering right now. I have requested the report
Mr. Chairman, you haven't personally verified the fact whether or not there's a, quote, probability.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
I feel uncomfortable without some direct research by you on the term probability, and I would rather say possibility.
I have no problem with that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would at this time move that the term probability on page 1, line 10, and page 2, line 7 be amended to read possibility.
Any objections to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered.
And then may I continue, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
On page 2, line 15, is the POW MIA Truth Bill limited to World War II, Korean, and Vietnam, or does it include other conflicts as well, including but not limited to the Persian Gulf?
Mr. Chairman, it specifies World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam conflict. There had been some discussion on including the Persian Gulf, but this bill was introduced prior to the Persian Gulf, and I know of no amendments that have been made to this legislation or proposed legislation that make reference to the Persian Gulf. But the Persian Gulf was in mind. It's my understanding, looking at some of the literature I've received, the Persian Gulf, is being considered. But nothing has been specifically specifically put into that or amended in that bill that I'm aware of at this time.
I'm just wondering if there's anybody missing from the Persian Gulf.
There were seven POWs, Mr. Chairman, from the Persian Gulf, and from my understanding, those seven have been returned. But so once again, that's the latest information I had because I was interested in that as myself as well.
Mr. Chairman, the further resolved at line 25 to 27 on page 2 asks the Congress to continue funding its investigation into the status of American service personnel vital to resolving the POW-MIA issue in Southeast Asia. But up above, on line 15, the truth bill doesn't only include Vietnam, but it includes World War II and Korea, which is areas aside from Southeast Asia. And I'm wondering whether it is going to be necessary or should be necessary to expand the term Southeast Asia on line 27 because of the language on line 15.
No. Mr. Chairman, I think that would probably be a good idea, but most of the focus, even though they do mention World War II and the Korean War, most of the focus has been on Southeast Asia, particularly in light of a letter from Jesse Helms to the Secretary of State in conversations that the Senator had with the Vietnamese ambassador, who stated they held as many as 10 POWs as late as 1990, October 1990. That's been the main focus of these resolutions that are going around the state right now is Southeast Asia, but the bill does include reference to World War II and the Korean conflict, so I don't think that would be a problem to include those in there.
Is there any real thought that there is anybody left over from World War II or Korea?
Mr. Chairman, not to my knowledge. I'm really not sure why they included World War II or Korea. There could be a possibility there still could be POWs remaining from Korea in North Korea. North Korea is so tight, security-wise, that anything's possible at this point. Coincide with what the bill refers to, I do think it's a good suggestion to expand that from Southeast Asia and to include Korea and possibility of those countries involved in World War II where American activities took place.
Mr. Chairman, I recall reading in VFW magazine here within the last year that there was 7,700 missing from the Korean War alone, and that within the last 5 years there have been continued and reliable reports from neutral countries, for example, French engineers or people from the Middle East having projects in construction or one thing or another in North Korea that have come across American POWs, and they have reported them, you know, to the State Department. And I think, I don't know about World War II, but certainly the 7,700 missing from the Korean War, and we're still getting reports, and now you have the report here before you on the one of the 2,200 or so missing from the Vietnam War. And just for the record, my first wife, I'd been married for 17 years to a Vietnamese girl, and I got to know the Vietnamese community in Western Alaska real well, and one of them was a good friend of mine, a Vietnamese captain, Army captain, who after the fall of Saigon in April of 1975, marched with a band of POWs being escorted on foot from Saigon to Hanoi, and that he marched, it took about a year to walk it, to a re-education camp, and there were three Americans with him. That was in 1977, and two of them died, and the one a captain, he said the last he saw was in 78 or so, 5 years after the statement here that that there were no missing or POWs in Asia. He had seen them, and I had no reason to not believe him. But I just wanted to bring that up from personal experience. So I can see why Korea would possibly be there also.
Representative Bloomberg?
I think in light of what Mr. Wright and Representative Foster have said, that on line 27, I would suggest that we strike everything after issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we would strike the phrase in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And I would move it.
Would this then refer to all these other conflicts prior to
that? It would not be limited. It could be anywhere.
Okay. Any objections to striking that phrase issue in Southeast Asia?
And Mr. Chairman, we have been sending all of these congressional things to George Mitchell, to as well. And I don't. The Senate majority there. Now, I don't know if you want to send copies of this resolution to the sponsors in the House and the Senate. I think the bill spot, we ought to find it. I would just ask the staff conceptually to include, and we give the staff a little discretion here, to include other addressees. I would suggest possibly George Mitchell. I would suggest the sponsors of the bill in the House and the Senate. I would suggest the chairman and the ranking minority member.
Chairman.
Of the relevant committees. I guess it's Senate Foreign Relations in the House, Foreign Relations. And particularly in the House, there should be a subcommittee chair and stuff. But widely disseminate this. And we give them the authority to put any addressees, and maybe the co-sponsors of the bill, so people know that we've gone on record as supporting this legislation. And I'd ask, it's unusual to have a broad thing like that, but we have a you know, good distribution of this. And I would move that conceptually.
There was a motion to strike out the language issue in Southeast Asia, line 27, and a broad directive to the staff for dissemination of this resolution, directives.
Mr. Chairman, we would leave the word issue in. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that would be stricken would be the phrase in Southeast mm-hmm. Asia. So it would read to resolving, which is vital to resolving the POW-MIA issue, period.
Okay. With that, if there's no objections, both that language and the directive to the staff is approved. Representative Gruenberg?
On line 4, this is just technical, the word issue should not be capitalized. Page 2, line 4.
Who's this letter from?
Jesse Hill.
Oh, okay.
I think that's just a
text. So noted.
And I would move that we incorporate all the changes into a CS and adopt a CS, Mr. Chairman.
Any objections to the motion to adopt a CS? If not,
I move the bill with individual recommendations.
There's a motion to accept the bill with move the bill out with the individual recommendations. Any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there other business to come before the committee?
Mr. Chairman, not at this time. I have been in discussion with General Cox. This is for Representative Gruenberg's for his concerns on House Bill 272. And we are collaborating somewhat in trying to define what those duties should be, to see if we should leave it as it is because it is pretty broad, or whether there should be some specificities in the bill to tighten up language a little bit and set out more direct duties. And that's something we're discussing right now.
No, I didn't, Mr. Chairman. I didn't mean that you should limit the duties.
Right.
I would leave that. The question is, should there, in addition, be some general language, maybe another section or something talking about planning with the military
right. And
stuff like that. Maybe reports to the legislature. I think that that's probably something we should have in this case. An annual report mm-hmm. by the department after consultation with the military as to what the military's, what happened in the last year and what the effects are on Alaska, what's going to be happening in the next year, what the planning is for it, et cetera, et cetera. It just seems to me, I don't like a lot of reports, but I think this is...
Active military, and what about National Guard activities? I'm not sure, but it doesn't... Mr. Chairman, if I may, I don't remember seeing too many reports coming from the department. You know, discussing what the National Guard activities have been as well, and maybe that's something we might want to consider just so we can keep abreast as a committee.
You may desire to have the department do one report, and it should include the active military and National Guard. I don't know if you'd also want to include veterans, too, but consolidate all of the work.
I would like to consult with my prior experienced colleagues here. Has reports been submitted by military affairs to the legislature or any committee, state affairs?
I'm not aware of any requirement that DMV has to do an annual report on anything. Is there anything?
Mr. Chairman, not that I'm aware of. I was just trying to research through my memory whether we have or not. I don't remember in the years, 4 years, 5 years that I've been here now, seeing anything come across our desks that resembled an annual report from the department.
I frankly think that regardless of what we do with the National Guard, and you may desire to put that in there, I think that what's going on between the state and the military mm-hmm. is not National Guard. It is sufficiently different and it's sufficiently important that should be an annual thing, including the Coast Guard.
I found it very informative when the Adjutant General appeared before the committee, gave us his overview and what his plans were, and some of the. I'd like to find out, at least make it appear before, have him appear before us at the beginning of the year to find what problems that he may be encountering, where he may be of assistance. Mm-hmm. I would direct now that your staff will work with Mr. Wright from my staff to work on that language.
Sure.
We can address that at the next session.
We will do that, sir. I had a question for Mr. Wright, Mr. Chairman. We didn't introduce companion bills to the veterans home over here on the assumption that the Curtula bills were going to move in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't or they haven't, I think we ought to move and put something in and move it to the Senate and get that thing going. I don't want to wait another year.
Mr. Chairman, all I have to do is wait on your orders.
Well, would you check with Senator Curtula and see? Because if he's very busy with this other stuff, then I would suggest we put in two Military and Veteran Affairs Committee bills mm-hmm. and shoot them over to the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I would be more than happy to do so.
Those are your directives. Appreciate any more business?
I just wanted to remind the committee about the trip to Nome with General Fox and this committee maybe next fall sometime if the time certain could be set up before the end of the session, just so I can plan. And, just sitting here, it just came to mind, I don't know if this is a good idea or not, since we're going to Little Diomede, and it's only 2 miles from Big Diomede, and there's a Soviet garrison there. If we could invite the Soviet commander of Big Diomede to meet us in Little Diomede just for peaceful cooperation, I think we could stress that this military committee has been emphasizing here in these days of perestroika less a military role and more a role in providing benefits to veterans on the one hand and providing emergency services for floods like they had in Diomede. Last fall, mm-hmm. which wiped out their fuel capacity and the need for some kind of emergency services that would be available if a kid had appendix rupture there in Diomede and the Nome weather was bad or something. But, some kind of thing like that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I would like to go one better. Okay. Do they have a landing field on Big Diomede?
No, but we'd have to get out there with a chopper to Little Diomede. We could just as well land in Big Diomede.
Well, I'd like to see if they would let us go on to Big Diomede. We need to get passports.
I would love to.
Because that would give Certainly. Us a chance to get over there.
Uh-huh. The island is like the distance. Soviet territory is here to the Douglas Bridge. It's about how mm-hmm. far away Big Diomede is from the Soviet, from our village of Little Diomede.
Wow.
I mean, it's just not even a 30-second run with a chopper to get over there, so that's great. I like that idea.
Mr. Chairman, we won't have a plane big enough to take everybody.
Well, the choppers that they got in Nome, see, we could get up to Wales and then they could shuttle. It's only 22 miles.
I'm just kidding.
There is a logistical problem. You are correct.
I'm just kidding, but no.
If they have a helicopter, they could just shuttle several groups of us. Mm-hmm.
The last trip was so successful. I think we have correspondence from people, other colleagues, trying to get in on the next tour.
Mr. Chairman, I have been in discussions with Colonel Carroll and Jeff Morrison of the department, and also with Captain Mike Haller, setting up arrangements. One of the things they have to consider is their fiscal year ends September 30th, and they might have to wait till the 1st of October, because it will give them more flying hours to make that trip. That's one of the things they're considering right now. And their fiscal restraints might have to be taken into consideration as well. We might have to look around the first week of October.
That would be fine with me. Okay. The only thing I think is we need to avoid areas that have shuffleboards.
The committee staff is instructed to coordinate the travel with the Representative Foster's office.
We'll do.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
What time is yours, guys? 30.